Hey everybody out there, this is Donnell Scallon. You're listening to Houston on Seattle Wave Radio.
Standing by for launch command, T-minus 2 minutes. Standing by for launch command, T-minus 1 minute.
In this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too.
Filled with chaos where the dreamers struggle to find their way, there is a light. In an industry riddled with sacrifice and self-doubt, there is a voice. At a time when we need one another more than ever, there is hope. Houston, we have a program.
Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio and recorded on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast collaboration platform. And we are in 2022, and I could not be happier to be here with all of you, our beautiful listening audience. Today, we have a very special guest on Houston. And when I mean very special, I mean very special for a couple different reasons, which we'll get into in a little bit. But this gentleman, his name is Dan Satchoff. He is an actor, he's a writer, he's a comedian, he's a ventriloquist, he's a damn fine looking gentleman. He's best known for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jericho, Prison Break, and oh, a ton of other well-known shows, commercials. Matter of fact, he's getting ready to go to Chicago to do a commercial for Toyota here soon. But I probably shouldn't have said that because we probably gave the producers to be pissed. You gave away the plot. He is also the very first guest we've ever had on Houston who is not officially a musician as his primary thing. We found out in the green room beforehand that he's got some musical background. We're going to get into that soon, but I would like everyone to get together, put your hands together, and welcome.
Can I just just tell you how amazing it is that you actually said my name correctly? Not that it matters. I've heard it so many different ways. I don't bat an eye anymore, but I've heard Sackoff, Suchak, Slackoff. I've heard everything. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. It's good to be here. And I'm so pleased I met Cracky and Mark.
You also didn't mention how good looking we are as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I got that written right up here, and I forgot to say that, because that's the first thing I sketched out when I got on this podcast, is the amazing, first of all, the level of testosterone that flows through each of the gentlemen who are here, apart from me, is amazing. And the square jaw lines. And it's pretty amazing. If you haven't Googled them, do a Google image search and treat yourself.
Well, Dan, you're too kind. The reason I have a beard is because I don't have what they call a square jawline.
Well, come to Hollywood, Ray. We can fix that. We got the implants for that.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Well, trust me, man. I know you've had some work done, because I've seen pictures of you before.
Oh yeah.
And all I can say is, damn.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the glued implant was my last one, and it is it's well worth it.
Nice, nice. Uh-huh. Well, you know, for a guy like yourself, that's about what about 72, 73.
Well, I'll be 74 in October. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, we're all joking around and stuff. That's one of the things Dan is a comedian. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. And, you know, we're overjoyed to have you. Like I said, in the green room, the stuff that we talked about beforehand that the audience didn't get to hear is going to, you know, really brought some interesting things to the plate. We're going to get to those. But first of all, Happy New Year. And let's just start off, because we've never got to talk to you. Maybe some people in our audience have not heard who you are. After this interview, they're going to know who the hell Dan Slackoff is. Sackoff is.
Yes.
So talk about 2022. We're only 21 days in, but how's it been for you so far,
man? You know what, man? I got to say, the last 2 years have been, as much as in the middle of them, I had issues, and I had anger, and I had frustration, as everybody has had. I have to say, looking back, you know, hindsight sometimes gives you a clearer view. And I am so grateful for what's happened despite everything the last 2 years, 2022, no exception. And one of the blessings that came out of the last 2 years is I got to meet you, Ray, and I'll tell you a little story. When I signed up for Fiverr, which is an online platform for people who offer basically gigs, it's a gig economy kind of thing. So if you're a graphic designer, if you're a musician, if you do voiceovers, if you do on-camera things, whatever, it's a way to pick up extra work. And I was always intrigued by it. And I thought, you know, these platforms are interesting. I don't know how they work. I'm always trying to figure out how those things work. So I started that a few months before the pandemic. And you, my friend, Ray, you were my first client ever. You were getting ready to launch Accidental Grace. That's right. How could I forget? And you were kind enough to hire me to do some promos for you. And it was amazing, because through that process, first of all, you were so gracious to me, and you were such a supporter, and it made me feel good, because I was nervous about this platform. I was like, how's this going to work out? Are people going to be happy? Are they going to think this is stupid? I did ventriloquism on it, which can, you know, be a mixed bag anyway. People are like, oh, it's Chucky, or it's, you know, Linda Blair, or whatever. I mean, you know, all kinds of things come to mind with ventriloquism. But you, working with you over the course of the time, it helped me get to know that platform and also get to start doing things more online, because cut to several months or a year later, whenever, you know, 2020 reared its head and COVID and everything, because I had been making a living doing that, because as an actor, everything had shut down. So I was in Atlanta shooting a thing for Netflix right before the pandemic, right before the lockdowns. And so I remember thinking, we had shot one episode, it was a prank show. And we were supposed to shoot this other one. And I got a call from the producers, and they were like, we're all locking down. You're going home. We're not going to do the second episode. And I was like, OK. And it was weird, because everybody's starting to figure out what's going on with all this. And I came home. Everybody's freaking out in the airports. And a few days later, my kids came home from college, and we're all locked down for what I thought would be a couple of weeks. You know, and it's been forever. But the blessing in this is, because of you and being kind enough to hire me, I had some tape, if you will, for that gig. I, over time, figured out, not only did I make a living doing that during the lockdown, because I couldn't act, the SAG, everything was locked down. There was no shoots. Nothing was being shot till August. So I made my living on Upwork and Fiverr. And then when everything came back, who knew that it would come back online? So all my auditions now, in the old days, you'd go to rooms, you'd drive around town, you'd go in and audition for producers and directors, and you'd drive onto studio lots. Now it's all by self-tape or Zoom. Well, because I had to invest in mics, backgrounds, cameras, lights for Fiverr to figure out how to do all that, I hit the ground running. So once things came back, I didn't know that was going to be the case, but God knew in his infinite wisdom that that was going to, and you played a crucial part of that. So thank you.
Oh, Brian. Wow. Yeah. Man, I thanks for sharing that with us. I did not know that. I'm happy it happens. You know, it's funny how things just happenstance, because in life, a lot of things are as simple as just showing up. Yeah. And you hear people say that, but literally, and when I was putting out my album, you know, a solo piano album, I was thinking, okay, this is solo piano. I mean, what am I going to put someone sleeping? You know, I mean, how am I going to promote this? So I wanted to do something unique. And so, I was thinking outside the box, you know, spending hours, went into Fiverr, looked, and I was looking at different stuff, and there's, you know, different models up there going, hi, how are you doing? You know, please check this out. And it's like, oh God, you know, and then I came across yours and I saw you there with that dummy. And, well, hold on, you know, I want to be politically correct to the dummy, because I don't want to get their union. Do we call them dummies?
Yeah.
Do we call them
people? You got to be real careful, because you got to get their pronouns right. It is a wooden American for sure.
Wooden American. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I prefer.
So I saw you with your wooden American.
Yes.
And, you know, right now, somebody on Pornhub is going, hey, I got a great idea for
oh, my gosh.
I think you just gave Dan an idea. He's going to have a
exactly. Hold on. That's out of my fingers Googling very quickly. Yeah.
Just to finish up on that note. Oh, my God. Dan's writing that down. I just was like, wow, this is great. And then my thing with collaboration is, if you're going to collaborate with someone, you let everyone bring what they do to the table. I'm not an actor. I tried it years ago. And when we were sitting around, you know, they're sitting around a circle, the gal would go, okay, I'm going to come up to you and do something in front of you, and you repeat it. So, you know, she'd come up and go, ah! And I was like, what the? I thought this was acting. I thought I was going to be in a Marvel movie. I just saw you doing what you're doing. And like you said, it's gracious. It just was like, I recognized your talent. And I was like, this is incredible. And the majority of that promo stuff that Mark and Crack, I know you've seen, is really me giving some ideas about what it was doing, and Dan taking it from there, and Dan coining the phrase, not just for dummies. And and so a solo piano album got a ton of engagement and sales because of a ventriloquist.
Wow.
You know, I mean, and so it sounds crazy, but it's like, you know, why not try things out of the box? So anyway, thank you for sharing that. Welcome. I'm happy that I could be of some help with that.
Also was a great experience, because your musicianship and why you work as a musician and you have so many outlets is evidenced by how well you collaborate. Because that's one of the things I love, you know, when I was in bands, whether it's in bands or acting, whatever you do, collaboration is one of the main reasons we do it. I mean, first of all, look, if we're honest as performers, we do it because we're narcissists at some level and you want people to look at you. I mean, I freely admit that, you know, people who say, oh, I act because it's a higher calling. Yeah, there may be some of that. But I mean, the bottom line is what Laurence Olivier said when they asked him. They said, why do you act? He says, look at me, look at me, look at me. I mean, that's a big part of it. But the other great part, what that transcends all of that, which can be fraught with all kinds of disasters, is collaboration. And musicians and actors share that, because the best work comes to life at another level when there's good collaboration. And you're an amazing collaborator, because you know how to manage people and run a creative session, because you'd be like, hey, how about this? Go do that. And you didn't put the reins on. And so that's probably why you've succeeded as a musician as well.
Well, look at this. Now, this is a look at this, Cracky. You and Mark are always giving me crap. This guy's like lifting me up. He's like, I am somebody.
Did I say that right?
It's because you're Cracky a client, so he has to be nice to you because you're a client.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, on Fiverr, he's got like 59 five-star reviews there. So well, I assume that's out of 5 stars, not 10 or anything.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's
five. I mean,
it's five.
Is it 5 stars? Okay.
Yeah, it's 5 stars.
I love that because I got some birthdays coming up, and I suck at gift giving and coming up with ideas. I think I'm going to be hiring Dan in the next couple of months for some big.
We will put some great ones together because my cast has expanded since I worked with Ray exponentially.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my god! It definitely has, and I've seen some of that stuff. And Cracky, it's well worth it. Dan is he's fun to work with, and it's great. Hey, so I want to back up though because again, people, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to know who you are because when we put the promotion out for just not even airing. Just getting to do it. We got a lot of engagement. A lot of your friends chimed in, but the people who don't know you, let's just back up. Let's give a snapshot. I mean, just, you know, the meat potato type of interview stuff. Where did you grow up? And, you know, I had a lot of questions about you being an actor and stuff. You can't find stuff about you being a musician, but tell us where you grew up and tell us about, I mean, what came first, the chicken, the egg, music, acting? Tell us how the whole thing started.
I grew up in Golden, Colorado. I went to school all through high school there. The day after I graduated high school, I drove to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to an amusement park where I had a gig at a park called Kennywood Park. And the season before that season, I'd been hired as a musician, as a piano player and a singer and a dancer at a theme park in Colorado. Same people. It's called Elitch Gardens. So the same people booked that. So I had done musical theater growing up. I'd always wanted to be a performer. I did magic, ventriloquism, all the things that really ladies like. You're not a goober and a geek at all. So I just loved performing. I loved, you know, I'm a big variety fan. Grew up in the 70s. So, like, I watched all the great variety shows, whether it was singers, dancers, actors, ventriloquists, magicians. I mean, I loved show business from the time I was a kid. My mom and dad would ask me, what do you want to do? Look at there. Exactly. Cracky was holding up the Brady Bunch mug, which is, you know, formative in my childhood. But anyway, that's all I ever wanted to do, right? Honestly, I can't ever remember a time I didn't want to be a performer. So I graduated.
Everything, though.
I mean, I loved it. But I primarily, the thing I kind of zeroed in on was I thought I wanted to be in musical theater because I love musical theater. I did a lot of plays, a lot of shows, a lot of musicals. So that's what I was going to go to college for. But that summer beforehand to earn money, I went to Kennywood Park. I played. It was a great gig because we were in the Musicians Union. I was 18. So we made a ton of money that summer, which I rapidly spent because, you know, when you're 18, you have no idea about saving. I wish I had that money back. But I learned so much. I gigged with these people that were amazing, amazing musicians. And then I went to college in Boston. Studied musical theater for a semester, realized to your point of your acting class, I was like, you know, I'm not really into method acting, some of that stuff, whatever works for somebody. For me, it's more like the art of pretend. So to me, being an actor is very simple. You pretend to be somebody else, just like when you're on the playground when you were a kid. So if you can just play and have fun, I think that's much better than, and you have some technique along the way, but you start doing the sense memory stuff. Now, look, it may work for somebody. For me, that doesn't work. So I changed my major to broadcast journalism and television production at Emerson College in Boston, went through there. I interned at NBC Burbank. My first semester of my senior year, I worked on a show called Good Morning, Miss Bliss, which became Saved by the Bell. So I did the first 13 episodes with Haley Mills when she played Miss Bliss, but all the other kids, with the exception of a couple, were on the show. Mr. Belding was on the show. So I was a production assistant for that. Every day I got to go out early. They knew that I loved everything about show business. So they would let me walk down the midway to the Johnny Carson stage. And I would watch Johnny pull up in his white Corvette, park his car in his parking spot. And I would watch them tape the Tonight Show live. I sat outside the hallway there, outside his studio. I sat right behind the band. So there's a sliding door that would let you in the studio. They would close it almost all the way. And I would listen to the band play, Doc and the boys play the full song through the breaks, which blew my mind because I was a big band fan, big jazz fan. So anyway, long and short of it, I thought, you know, what better way to be an actor than to be in production? You're right there. Then you get a chance to audition, do everything. That's not the case. They see you as production. They don't see you as an actor. In fact, one of my fraternity brothers who sponsored me in that internship, he was one of the producers of Miss Bliss, which became Saved by the Bell. And he said, hey, I got you an audition for the show. And I was like, really? So I went in and read for it. And the next day he called me to his office and closed the door. And he said, do you want me to tell you what they said? And I said, absolutely. And so the executive producer, a man named Peter Engel, who was really good to me, good guy, he told Franco, he said, I can't, he was really good, but I can't get over the fact that he's the guy who brings me my Diet Coke. And I'd never be able to see him as an actor. And Franco said, you got a decision to make. So you either got to come, you got to be a waiter, do whatever you take, whatever you got to do, walk in off the street and be somebody who they see as an actor, or you got to choose production. Yeah. So I chose being an actor. I went back, finished my my senior year. I wanted to quit because they offered me a production coordinator job, and I wanted to take that. My dad was like, no, we paid for 4 years of school. You're not going to get off for one semester shy. So I went through, finished it, moved out here, went through the Groundlings, which is an improv comedy place, did that stuff, and then just started hitting the pavement trying to act, and have been trying to build a career ever since. As a journeyman actor, you know, you I'm sure you guys have this in the music world. You start out wanting to be the top 40, you want to be known. But then, you know, over time, I realized what I wanted was to make a living at this. And by God's grace, I made a living.
That's a hell of a choice. But I've heard stories like that before where they, you know, because it's all perception, it's how they see you. So that's actually very interesting. So, you know, when you were talking about the Johnny Carson thing, how cool is that? So basically you were stalking Doc Severinsen.
Absolutely. I stalked Johnny and Doc, and it was an amazing time because I would watch Jerry Seinfeld walk in before he was Jerry Seinfeld, before he had the show. And he and a couple of buddies of his would always go in packs. So they, when one of them was performing, the others would sit out and take notes, and they would debrief afterwards on how their set was. So it was interesting, and it was great to watch how that show came together. And I learned to have a great affinity for, again, collaboration, because good television, which, you know, The Tonight Show was no exception, was a collaboration between amazing people in front of the camera and behind the camera. Freddie DeCordova, who was the producer, I used to watch how he dealt with people and his kindness. And so you kind of got to see some really, really cool things. I'm really grateful for that time. It was an amazing experience.
That's very cool. And as you can see, because of course the audience is listening to Houston right now, all they do is hear us, but obviously we're in a green room and we can all see each other. But as you can tell by looking at Mark and myself and Cracky, we're not meant for the screen.
I disagree. Cracky should have his own show tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. We'll talk about that next time you're in Chicago.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Cracky, you know the rule. You know the rule. Our guests are guests. You can drink beer with them, but the line is... trying to get a part in his next movie, for God's sake.
Man, I got to get a part in my next movie, Ray. That's the thing. Every day's a challenge, right?
Every day's a challenge. And I got to take us in a different direction for a second. As you were just telling us that story about, actually really cool about, that choice to be an actor and the sacrifices and how you had to kind of change what you were doing. You were moving around, and I could see that you're the shirt that you're wearing. And so I would like you, okay, we're going to challenge you. On Houston, we like to challenge our guests. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So I want you to tell our audience what shirt you're wearing, but I want you to do it as if you were Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh man. Well, I'm wearing a shirt by a cat named Bob Ross, man. He makes happy little trees, you know what I mean, man? It's awesome. It gives me Spielkiss and Knockus at the same time. I have Spielknockus. Who can make the sunrise sprinkled with you? Thank you. Everybody.
I'm sorry our audience can't see that because he had the face down as well. It probably wasn't the voice.
He had the left eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think he even had the hands, like the hands kind of draped down, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing like a hack impression from the 70s to impress people, right, you guys? Oh, my goodness. I wish I could do something really good. I see you guys on TikTok who are doing, like, amazing impressions, and I can do Sammy. That's about it.
Well, hey, you found your demographic here.
I found my demo.
Well, you know, I got to say, I bet you I know when you can do it. And again, we're putting you on a spot, but
sure.
Digressing a little bit, we were talking earlier about, see, here on Houston, we don't have a formula. We just kind of blah. Yeah. You know? So my wife and I just got finished, and we were way late to the table on this series, which we are on a lot of things. But we just got done binge watching Fringe.
Oh, yeah.
And when you talk about collaboration, and like I said, I told you offline, you were involved with Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's one of the reasons my wife and I loved that show as well, because the collaboration between the actors, so on Fringe, I mean, the entire cast, all of them, Astrid, Anna Torv, Olivia, her character.
Oh, yeah.
But the character development between John Noble, Walter Bishop, and Peter Bishop, Josh Jackson, that chemistry was didn't start out as strong, but as the series went on, I'm surprised that series
But that's a great example of because I'm sure like you guys have this as musicians too. I mean, I know guys who are studio musicians and a lot of times a gig's just a gig, it's a money gig. You're doing that. And acting is the same way. There are certain jobs that like, hey, this is a paycheck. It's not necessarily a great experience for whatever reason, but that's your job, right? That's when it becomes, I'm a professional. That's what I do. You have to, be able to turn it on and do it when you're called for and you take a check and go home. But things like Fringe, things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., those things are transcendent because of the people involved. Now, I know Joss Whedon gets a lot of flack. I know there's been some kind of controversy with him, to be honest. I don't stay up on all that stuff, so I don't know exactly what it was. But I will tell you, my experience on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was fantastic because he was a really great guy to work with in a situation that was really scary. When I got cast in that, I was just a reporter. So I'm going straight to camera. So it's very typical with all the Marvel things. You can't share anything. Once you're done with your audition, you have to turn the script in. I mean, they don't email you anything. It's watermarked to death if they ever do, because they don't want information leaking out, which is fine. So I had auditioned about 2 months later. I get a call. Oh, you're going to get this part. Here's the day you're going to work. So I kept asking them. I kept saying, well, can I have, because it was a huge chunk of dialogue straight to camera as a reporter. I play a lot of reporters and news anchors. And so I was getting a little nervous because, it's a pretty big scene on the back lot of Universal. And you want to know your stuff when you go in. You don't want to not be able to get through stuff and be embarrassed. And so the night before, I was like, look, I called my agent. I said, I still haven't seen a script for this. Well, the AD sends me an email just saying, we're not allowed to release any scripts. So you've got to come in early tomorrow, sit in your trailer and learn it. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I was in my head trying to rack my brain from the original audition, which none of it was coming together. I got there early. Well, it turns out they called me to set early. So I didn't have a lot of extra time to learn this thing. And I was panicking and I got onto set. And so it's a scene where there's explosions going on in the background on the back lot of Universal. There's 200 extras. So if you take a dump, it's hugely embarrassing in front of that many people. It's not just like you and a camera and a couple of crew guys. It was just, but Joss Whedon was directing it because it was a pilot episode. And he made me feel so relaxed, to your point of like, there's things that are just quality when he knew how to get the most out of people to make people feel good about what they're doing, but also get the best performance. So I just was basically winging it. I would remember a few words, but I was just like, just don't stop, keep going. And by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, oh, the script supervisor is going to come to me because they, usually every word counts with that stuff, especially with Marvel. Unless you're Robert Downey Jr. and then you have license to improvise or whatever. So I see the script girl coming towards me and I say, oh boy, I'm just going to get nailed. Cause I think I said maybe five words that were in the script, and Joss beats her to me. And is like, that was great. In fact, I like some of your words more than my words. Just say this, do this, and then do another take with this, and gave me a little bit of an adjustment. But I was like, so that gave me enough confidence that when I went back through and did it, I actually remembered more than I thought I did because I got one out of my system and that nervous energy was gone because he encouraged me rather than be like, oh, God, this guy, and it was,
who is this guy?
Exactly. And it was so great. And he got a better performance out of it. And I think that's why projects that he's done, and different people, Fringe, like all those kind of things, that the collaboration is better. And that's when it is transcendent as an artist, as a performer. You want those experiences, but it all depends on who's at the top, right? So if you don't have those people at the top, it's not going to work out.
Well, it's like a corporation. I mean, it all comes down to culture and whatever. And that's one of the things, when Cracky originally was like, wait a minute, we're having an actor on here? Hire us an actor. And the biggest thing is it's coming to fruition like I expected, is really highlighting some of the similarities in the way that we work in our industries. But I do have more questions, but I wanted to jump over to Crack Here, Mark, see if you before I go on to that question, is there anything you guys want to ask of this brilliant man?
Oh, yeah.
So you were talking about that last scene that you were shooting. Did your background broadcast journalism actually help? Doing actual broadcast journalism and playing that part and kind of jumping in there?
That's a great insight. It's really been another blessing in my life. Even though I studied broadcast journalism, I knew that if I wanted to go into that, I would have to start in every small market in the country and work your way up. And I had friends who did that. And I have friends now who are, big anchors and stuff. And they started small like that. But I didn't like news enough to want to do that in my life. But I really love broadcasting. To this day, I still, people like Carson and Letterman and real classic broadcasters, Tom Schneider, different people. I know we've lost a huge amount of people at this point who wouldn't know who those are people are. But I would say Google it. There's plenty of YouTube. You will get to see people like Bob Costas and people who are great broadcasters be able to interview and bring things out. So I have learned to fake the news cadence because I did so much journalism in school. And that's one reason I do. In fact, this last week, I shot this new Apple TV show that Maya Rudolph is in called Tarzana. And I play a national news anchor because I can fake that cadence. And a lot of actors can't. And then they'll hire a lot of real broadcasters too. But then real broadcasters don't know how to hit their marks necessarily or how to take adjustments. So if they're like, hey, can you have more gravitas with this? Or can you throw this away or be funny with this? Or a little ironic, like a lot of times they don't know how to do that because that's not what they do every day. They read the news. So right. I've kind of found a place where that's a good safety gig for me. That's not always the most creatively satisfying, although it depends on the day. Like this show actually was because the creator of the show was directing the episode. And we ended up having a ton of fun because you would do all this serious work. And then the tag at the end was something just over the top ridiculous, but you said it with a straight face and it'll just be on screen for a second, but it will be a good laugh for the audience. And it was really a blast to do, but yes, to answer your question, that skill, it's almost like having a trade. It's like knowing how to lay bricks or do whatever. I can fake the news cadence. I have an IFB that I used to use when I did news. So a lot of times when I audition now, because I do it at home, I'll put this, you see people with the earpieces and the little coil that runs down. Well, I'll put my IFB in. And it's amazing how producers will be like, oh, he looks legit because he's got that. And it's like, oh, okay. But it's allowed me to really do pretty well and make a good living in terms of just, being eligible for insurance and all those things through SAG by having that kind of in my pocket sometimes.
Okay. So you say that's like a safety gig. It's, something recurring, something you're good at, but not the most creative. You do all these different things throughout entertainment, media. What's your dream gig? Which ones do you look forward to the most?
Boy, it depends on where I'm at. I'm somebody who in the past, I would always say, this is the goal. I'm going to set this goal. I kind of don't do that anymore. And I think part of that might be dictated by my faith in that I got to trust that God has me where he wants me every day. And so now I just take the next indicated step that God puts in front of me. And a lot of times if I go into it thinking, oh, this is not going to be any good and I have a bad attitude about it, those end up being the best gigs I've ever had. I'll give you an example. So I shot
like this one, right?
Exactly. I didn't want to say it, Cracky. Thank you. I did a commercial before the holidays for a heart medication that's going to start running in January this year. As a game show host, and I had done a previous game show commercial that's been running for a year ago where I play this cheesy game show guy. And so it was running a lot. And I was like, do I want to do, I love game show host. I love that world. I love doing that. And I was like, but anyway, the money wasn't particularly something that I was like, this isn't the best money in the world. And I was like, I don't know. Do I want to get labeled as a game show host? But I was like, what are you doing? This is an opportunity. It's really good. It's work. Of course, you take it and just be happy. And I was like, yeah, man, God, you're right. I'm just going to do this and have fun and enjoy it. Well, it ended up being one of the most fun experiences because one of the things I love is I love putting on a fake mustache. I love putting on a wig. I mean, I love to disappear into a character. Well, I got there and they put on this giant 70s stash on me. It was a 70s game show, which was fun. They put this wig on me. You won't even recognize me if I show you a photo of what I was. But then we went on to tape this thing. And the young director was awesome because he didn't want me to play it like I had played the other game show thing. He wanted me to be this kind of weird, intense, almost like acid trip kind of 70s game show guy. And it was a blast because it made me really work. I was thinking, oh, this is going to be one of those things you kind of just phone in because I can do phony game show hosts with my eyes closed. But no, he challenged me and it ended up being, I mean, I haven't seen the final thing, but it was really fun, so much so that then when the clients saw it, they called my agent and were like, hey, we want to hold him for this. And they ended up throwing a lot more money at it to hold this thing for a year because they really liked it. And when I went into it with a bad attitude, I mean, I wasn't once I got there, it was fine. But, you know, we all get in our heads sometimes like, oh, this is where I should be. So to answer your question, I mean, I love lots of things. I love short form. I love commercials because it's short form entertainment. That's one reason I throw content up on my Instagram, on TikTok, on different things because I enjoy seeing, oh, what works, what gets a click, what jokes play well, how long? Do you have a minute, 30 seconds? Does that get more response? Is 3 minutes okay? So it's fun to do that, but it's not collaborative. It's just me doing something to camera. I think the thing I like the most is probably something that's collaborative. And I really, right now, like I enjoy, I used to think I wanted to be a sitcom guy. Well, I got to LA and a few years in, sitcoms died except for on the Disney Channel. And there were no sitcoms. So I had to reinvent myself and figure out how do you do single camera dramas and that kind of stuff. And now some of the most satisfying things I have are single camera. I did this movie called Being the Ricardos with Nicole Kidman. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had simply because, again, the collaboration, like you guys know, in musicians, you know, if you're taking a solo and the rhythm section is just hitting it and they're solid and everybody is just, it's that feeling when everything's coming together and it's almost like you're reading each other's minds. And it's the same thing when you have a scene. Aaron Sorkin directed this and he wrote it. And the amazing thing was we would start a scene. And by the time we finished it, there was an arc. It was not even anything close to what we rehearsed because he would change words. He would have a sit and stand. And then it came to life. It was like doing that's why I love theater is because you're always discovering things and finding things. And you have that time. He ran this like a play. So by the end of a scene, we'd be like, holy smokes, that really came to life. So I don't know, long way of saying, you know what? I don't plan it anymore. Whatever God puts in my path, I'm happy to do. And I want to be really grateful too for everything, because you know what? Like I told you, the middle of the pandemic, I didn't know if we'd ever be able to work again. I'm sure you guys feel the same. You suffer for even more as live performers, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, mostly my wife, she does it for a living. For me, it's more part-time these days. Mm-hmm. But by the way, thank you for that was a great answer to Cracky's question. Only problem is about halfway through, we the recording stopped. So if we could repeat that whole thing.
Let's do it. I got it on prompt.
I'm kidding. No, that was actually, that actually made a lot of sense. And it reminded me that, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life, whether you're a musician or you're an actor or, you know, whatever you do, you're a lawyer, you know, so many people focus on, and I know you didn't directly say this, but so many people focus on, you know, a destination or a goal. And I'm not saying don't have goals and all that stuff.
Sure.
But the thing is actually, it's like that movie that just came out. I don't know if it was Pixar or not. I think it's called Soul. And when I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's amazing. But you know how the movie ends. It's like, you know, when she goes outside, you do a great job paying and whatever. She goes, see you here tomorrow night. You know, it's like, you know, if we focus more on what's in front of us and, you know, what you know, like you said, whatever God's plan is or whatever the universe's plan is, if you're a Buddhist, whatever Buddha is telling you, and just go with that. These experiences, they'll just happen. I mean, if we're going so fast after something, like, for example, if I would have rushed the process of looking for promo for my album, Accidental Grace, you and I may have never met.
Right.
And, you know, so, yeah, I think that a lot of what you said in response to Cracky's question was great. We're going longer than we said we would. Are you still good for a little bit more?
I'm good.
Cool, because this is fun. So I'm going to challenge you again.
Okay.
All right. Okay. here it is. I've shot and directed music videos and stuff like that, but I haven't done films. So you are going to be a tripped out game show host. Okay. And Cracky is one of the contestants, and he's not understanding what's going on the show because you're so tripped out. Okay.
Okay.
And all he wants to do is, and this is complicated. So you're a tripped out game show host. Okay. He's one of the contestants who's not understanding what's going on.
Okay.
And he's trying to focus more on trying to pitch you a new show that he wants to put on Netflix. Is that complicated enough?
I'm already confused why I'm pitching a show on a game show.
Because that you only went on the game show to get in front of the tripped out game show host because you're trying to use this thing. See, I can't make this simple for Dan. We can't make this simple for Dan. Action.
Hey, welcome back to Rice Pilaf. It's good to be here. I'm Jimmy Fragnati, your host. I'm here every week. Oh, God. Oh, man. Are those elephants? Holy. I'm sorry. Hey, look who it is. It's Cracky. Cracky, you're up next. You got to answer the question. Are you ready, Cracky? Cracky, first. Oh, sorry, man. Oh, gosh. I saw a zebra just now. Cracky, tell us about yourself.
I'm 48 years
old. That's fantastic. All right, hold on. And yeah,
I love rice pilaf.
Yeah, me too, man. All right. So first question, rice or not to rice? Go.
I think rice is a critical piece because people love rice. It is the most consumed food across the world. I think we need a show on the Food Network that would focus on all the different ways to prepare rice, especially across the Southeast Asian countries.
Cracky, are you wearing a kabuki mask? Because, man, how do you do that with your face, dude? Oh, my gosh, that is phenomenal.
I spent a lot of time in Japan with Anthony Bourdain, and we drank this little white liquid that they gave us every night at midnight.
Fantastic, man. I don't even know what you're saying, but man, I could listen to you all day, brother. You know what I mean? I think
so. You need to get together with me and Anthony Bourdain. We'll go to Japan. We'll film like a few episodes and we'll eat some rice, man.
Say that all again, man, because I couldn't hear you through the red fog. Well, and blackout.
All right. Well done. Bravo. 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 You know, that was, it's funny because actually, that was, and I'm not to say this because you're a guest, that was actually very good. The thing that, you know what surprised me more than anything else is that Cracky, I think there was a little chemistry there.
Oh, I think so, man.
I was like, wow, Cracky, I didn't know you had it in you, man.
Cracky's good at yes anding. In improv, we call that yes anding. So you never deny anything. You're like, yes, and this. So Cracky completed the mission there, getting the pitch in. Very good, my friend.
I'll have you know, I took a class at the Improv Institute about 30 years ago, and it stuck with me.
Excellent. Now, where was that? Was that in Chicago?
Yeah, it was. It was like the off-Broadway version of improv in Chicago. So it wasn't Second City, but it was a little company out on the northwest side.
Because you guys have some of the most amazing improv in the world. Now, it's vastly different from the improv I learned to do at the Groundlings out here. But Second City, the Del Close stuff, amazing, yeah. Amazing. And theater in general, Steppenwolf. I mean, some of the best people I've ever worked with are Chicago-based actors. A guy named Earl Bowen. You'll know him as the kind of the doctor who's perpetually kind of foiled by Linda Hamilton's character in the Terminator movies. He was a balding kind of guy. He's a Steppenwolf actor, amazing character actor. And we did an episode of The Ellen Show years and years and years ago when she had her sitcom together. And he taught me, talk about somebody with technique, like just kind of pretending. He taught me how to cry on stage. And it was something he learned at Steppenwolf. So he said, what you do is you just put your head in your hand and you start laughing. But as you do that, your brain starts following. And by the time he would do it for me and he'd pull his face out and he'd have tears. And I had to do that on stage one time. I was like, thank you, Earl Bowen. So Chicago has my deep respect for its acting background. Nice.
Yeah. All these people form these little storefront theaters, and there's some great theater groups out there. Those are some of the best. I don't make the Steppenwolf much, But yeah. You get out to the neighborhoods, and there's these great little places doing great work. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's Cracky, phenomenal.
Cracky, are you drinking whiskey?
Yeah, of course.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. All right. This is Cracky's favorite part of the show. This is what we call the lightning fast. I'm going to ask you a question, and you can't think about it. Only answer the damn question section of our show.
Excellent.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. No thinking.
Okay.
All right. And favorite food?
Pasta.
Yum. Favorite musician, band, or solo artist?
Oscar Peterson.
Got it. Favorite comedian and why?
Don Rickles. Because he straddled the line that is very hard to straddle and had an amazing energy on stage and was also a really good actor. And it shows in his stand-up.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic. All right. Favorite actor or actress and why?
You told me not to think, so this is probably not absolutely accurate, because if I thought about it, there's a million people, but Robert Conrad sticks in my head because as a kid, I watched hours and hours and hours of a show called The Wild Wild West. And Robert Conrad and Ross Martin and the chemistry together. And again, I don't know if the whole show would hold up now for people watching it, but it just, he was a formative reason of why I wanted to be an actor, because I loved what he did. So I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but anyway.
That makes perfect sense. Okay. Who is the most famous celebrity you've ever worked with?
I would say probably, well, I don't know if the most famous, but one of my favorites is William Shatner. I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of people who are, I guess you would consider famous. I enjoyed working with Nicole Kidman on Being the Ricardos, but I think Shatner, because as a kid growing up watching Star Trek, when I got to play with him in this commercial, exactly, it was just a couple of years ago, and I worked with, at that time, like an 87-year-old William Shatner, and he brought so much to the table, so much energy, and had such an amazing vision of the whole project. I think that's probably my favorite encounter with someone famous.
And we'll get back to him. Okay. Who, and maybe this is the same answer, who is the funnest celebrity you've ever worked with? Or colleague, should I say?
You know, the funnest would probably be, and I'm pausing because I can't remember his name. I'm having a senior moment here.
Does it rhyme with Tom Cruise?
No, I wish it did. I would like those residuals. Who played the Prime Minister of England in the movie a couple years ago? Churchill. He played Churchill. Why am I blanking on his name? I'm gonna have to Google it.
Ben Affleck?
No, Gary Oldman. I did an animated thing with Gary Oldman, and it was one of the most fun things I ever did, simply because we'd be recording it and he'd be like, "Hey, wait, stop, it's not working, let's go out in the hall." So we'd go out in the hall and we would improvise the scene and find little beats, and he would write them down. We'd go in and then we would do it in front of the mic. And it was such a blast because it was like getting an acting class from one of the premier, you know, actors in the world. So I'd have to say probably Gary Oldman.
Sweet. And Gary Oldman was fantastic in The Book of Eli.
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite movies, by the way. Yeah, that's excellent. Great.
Well, you just answered the next question. And we only have a couple more of this lightning fast answer the question, don't think about it question round. And my papers just fell apart. So it's the lightning thing kind of left out. So
I'll jump in the middle while you're getting your papers out. Right. Who's the man? Joe Mannix or Jim Rockford?
Oh, Jim Rockford. As much as I love Joe Mannix, I'm on a huge binge right now, Cracky, of watching all the Rockford Files on Peacock. I'm on season three, and I am absolutely addicted to that show now.
Oh, I love those old 70s. Yeah,
you probably love that old synthesizer theme.
How about themes? Okay, let's stop for one sec. We got to talk about the theme of Mannix. Who puts a jazz waltz as a main title? Oh my gosh, fantastic!
How was that again? And you have been listening to Dan.
Hey, everybody.
He is the jazz master. Scatman Dan on Seattle Wave Radio. Hey, okay. So, Dan, this is very important. I want you to listen carefully. There's two questions left, but this one's very important. There are those who love planes, trains, and automobiles. And there are those who hate planes, trains, and automobiles. Which are you?
Absolutely love. Well, I couldn't love it more. I wish I could exponentially love it enough to show you, but it's phenomenal.
All right. That was the right answer. Cracky's always wanted to be Del the Shadowing guy from Tacoma. Donald from Tacoma, Washington.
Oh my gosh.
Final question in the lightning fast. I'm going to ask you a question. You can't think. Just answer the damn question. Part of our show.
Okay.
Favorite host on Houston, me or Cracky?
I would say, as I think of it, I would say both. I would say Racky.
All right.
Or Cray.
All right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay.
So if Ray and I started dating, that would be our name. You know,
TMZ, right? That's your ship name, as the kids say. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's another. All right. Well, the thing is, there's we just have a few more questions, and we're going to let you get on because I know you have stuff you got to do. This has been a lot of fun. We will definitely be doing a part two to this, whether you want to or not. What really intrigues me, and I think a lot of people in the audience would be interested in, is in the music industry, there are so many things that as artists, we find out, and you being a musician one time too, you find out are not what you thought they were. Mm-hmm. Coming into it, a lot of surprises, just about how it's not always about talent and, being in the right place at the right time and just how things look on the outside to how they really are. So what are just maybe pick a couple things about that you could enlighten our audience with about the movie industry that would really shock people are probably different than what most people perceive they are to be.
Well, this is kind of been said by a lot of people, but it truly does hit me. There is so much time spent either pursuing work or sitting and waiting to work. So that's one reason why I enjoy making content, even if it's bad or mediocre sometimes, because trying to stay creative, whether if you're any kind of creator, any kind of musician, actor, it's actually the doing of it is how you get better and what we enjoy. And there is so much sitting around. I mean, I cannot tell you how much time you spend sitting and waiting to do something, and then all of a sudden, come on, let's do it. No, go. And then you've got to get yourself in a place, whether you're playing or acting or whatever, you've got to actually be able to do it. And there's just a ton of downtime, whether it's, again, you're auditioning and you're striking out and you're not getting stuff, or whether it's sitting in your trailer, just waiting to, see something other than the four walls in your room and go get ready to do it, which is, can be really bad because then you start running stuff in your head. I mean, some of the worst fear I've ever had is if I only have five or six lines in something. Like, I'll never forget, I did an episode of Scrubs many, many, many years ago.
And we shot that show.
We shot in the old North Hollywood Medical Centers where they shot the first iteration of it. The show came back and they shot it on the soundstage at Sony. But we were shooting at the old North Hollywood Medical Center, which is, by the way, where Hervé Villechaize died of tattoo from Fantasy Island. But we were shooting there and I didn't have many lines, but I literally sat for what felt like 10 hours by myself running the lines. And after a while, the lines all blurred and I didn't know what I was saying because I was so nervous. The more you run it, the more nervous you get. I'm going to forget it on set. And luckily I got out and somehow I was able to actually do it. But sometimes it's just the waiting around. It's really hard to then get yourself in a place where you can be focused and work.
That's interesting. That's a little bit different than the music industry because music industry, like when you're acting and you're rehearsing for a line or whatever, maybe you do it with somebody else. But with the musician thing, I mean, there's the time on our own practicing, then there's rehearsing with the band, and there's a little bit of wait time. When you get to the club for sound check, you set up, you sound check, and then you wait around an hour. But not like that. I think that might surprise. I mean, I at one time a while back, I have a friend who, Arthur Reynolds, who's done some of my music videos in the past, and he was a PA, is it, or mm-hmm. something on a set. It was a film called The Architect, and I knew he was coming to town because I got some friends who were in that industry, and so I talked to a casting director that I know here and said, hey, can you get me on as a, you know, are there any extra spots? And so I got on there, and it to surprise him, but I was an extra, and it was the first time I'd ever done that, and I didn't have any lines. I'm just an extra. My job was to walk from here across the street.
Right.
And literally I was, and then, so you learn all the stuff about back to one, you know, and cut and all this kind of stuff. And, and then, but it was interesting because we literally shot that scene. I mean, like, I walked, came back to one, walked back to one. And then they had the camera that was on the far side of the street. They moved across the street, and they moved it to this side of the street, and then they moved inside the building and shot it. Well, this is common to you, but I was like, so it's not like sitting around like you're saying for 10 hours, but the perception. I had no idea that they shot. I mean, I figured they took more than one shot, but it was like, how many angles? And so that really it brings to life how much work really goes into you guys do.
Yeah, and you do so much coverage that then also the challenge becomes, okay, how do you keep it fresh every time, especially if you're doing, like, if you're doing something that requires a lot of focus and you're doing a ton of coverage and you've got a million setups for something, and then in between each one of those setups is a pretty substantial break sometimes, although now, because they don't work with film anymore, they can run two or three cameras at once and you can get a lot more coverage than back in the day when you had to change a mag and change film because you're working with film. But you have to do relights and resets and stuff. And so then it's, how do you maintain your energy for those downtimes? And by doing it a million times, you want consistency, but you also want to be able to bring something fresh to it. And that's where a good director helps you by being able to kind of bring out of you different things, you know? So,
That makes sense. I mean, that's the same thing with in the music industry with a producer.
Right.
Bringing out the artist. The one other thing, just when we're on the subject of all this stuff, is the other thing is, you know, when my friend told me, he said, hey, and I think it was probably in the little contract thing we had assigned to be on set, but it was like, you know, you don't talk to the talent and whatever. And I said, well, I figured as much, but they were like, he said, if they talk to you, then that's fine, but don't engage them. I can't remember the name of the actor and actress. Yeah. I've seen him a gazillion times in different shows. But of course, what happens? We get in the catering line and I walk up and I'm on this side and the actor's on this side. And we literally reach for the salad tongs at the exact same time. And I move my hand back really quick. And he looks at me and he goes, no, go ahead. And I said, oh, no, please go ahead. And I still don't remember what he said, but he said something that was kind of funny. And then he kind of leaned over and whispered to me and says, don't worry, I won't tell anybody that you touched this, you know, the tongs or whatever. And then everything was cool. And we looked and we talked a little bit. He goes through and goes, what's that? I said, I don't know. He says, you know, the best thing about these, I like all the cheeses. And then he sat down next to me at the table. Yeah. We talked the whole time. And I remember kind of looking over at my friend and he was looking at me and just shaking his head. And so when we were done, I got up and I said, Art. He goes, I'm just giving you shit. I saw the whole thing. Anyway,
so funny.
It was fun, something that we speaking. If you're cool with talking just a little bit, you know, as we get ready to wrap the show up here, about your family is specifically, you and I have that thing in common as well. Is wives that share the same passion.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife's a country star and musician, whatever. And your wife, Jill, is a very accomplished actress. Yeah. Just real quick, if you want to share a little bit, you know, how did you guys meet? And, did you meet on a movie somewhere? Also, do you feel that really helps? In my case, it does, but does it help that you and your wife are both in the same field? Does that help with your marriage?
It's funny. You know, we talk about that. We talk about that all the time. By the way, your wife is super talented. I'm a big country music fan, and I've listened to quite a bit of her stuff. When I realized that you guys were, I started following you guys after you and I got to know each other, and she is really talented. And talk about a group of, like, you guys will post sometimes, like, behind the scenes, like, recording some of her stuff. And I will watch some of the level of musicianship that she is, not only is she great, but that she surrounds herself with, which is, I mean, that's one of the big things too, is no matter what endeavor you're pursuing, you got to surround yourself with good people. My dad used to tell me that all the time. You know, that's the key to, I think, any level of success, is not having to, you know, be the absolute definitive person, even though you may be the front of something. You want to surround yourself with amazing people that make you better. But yeah, my wife and I talk about that all the time. I mean, we met, I was doing an improv show. It was a sketch show. So the first half of the show in North Hollywood was years ago, 30 years ago. We've been married 27 years, but so I was doing the show. First half was all sketch, and then the lights would come up, and we did the second half of the show was all improvised. So somebody would take the classified ads of the LA Times, and they would read it, and we would create a whole long form scene out of that. And when the lights came up, I saw this girl in the front row, and I was like, oh my gosh, she is gorgeous. And I had gotten to a stage in my life where, you know, it's, LA is a very, very strange place to try to date, because either A, you're a complete nerd like I was, and you're driving around a wood paneled minivan filled with keyboards and dummies, which of course, you know, is a chick magnet. Or somebody wants something from you. And I would date people who either weren't interested, or I would meet high drama people, because the only people I would meet were in plays and musicals and stuff. And, you know, show folk can be pretty over the top, all of us. And I was in a stage where I was like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to be single my whole life, because I had had a bunch of really just bad relationships that I couldn't ever see us being together for a long time, you know. And I wanted that. My mom and dad were married for a long time, and I really wanted to have that in my life. But I was like, I'm giving up, because the only people I meet are show folk, and I don't really like it. And sure enough, when I saw her, and she was sitting next to a guy, and I was like, ah, she's with a guy. Well, I found out afterwards, because we had a mutual friend, that the guy was gay. I was like, yes. So they were just friends, and he came, and she came up to me, approached me after the show. And I went to my friend who was going to go out with her afterwards and said, find out everything you can about this woman. And I got her number and called her, and we went on our first date. And my mom was in town visiting me from Colorado after that first date. And I told her I met the woman I'm going to marry, and she told her mom the same thing. And sure enough, a couple of years later, we ended up getting married. And it has been a huge blessing, because unlike a lot of people, she is not like, she's, you know, again, our faith is really crucial to kind of keeping us centered in our life, and we build our life around God, and that has really helped keep us on the straight and narrow. But also from a practical standpoint of being a performer, she can understand, as I'm sure you and your wife do, the pitfalls, the rejection, you know, we will have so many times where you want something really bad, or something goes bad, or you do a job that just you suck at, and you're like, oh, I ate it so bad, I didn't do what I wanted to do. And there's a level of understanding that a civilian wouldn't necessarily have, because I have friends who were actors and married somebody, or actresses who married somebody who was not in the business, and invariably they ended up getting out of it because the person would say, look, isn't it time to go sell furniture at a store and get out of being creative, because you're never going to make it. And
wow.
You know, once you do that, then you're done. You know, I mean, the only way to succeed in any of this stuff is to keep doing it. I mean, then you're, you know, if you quit, you're done. And so she and I are able to really support each other. Like when we have a drought or something, the other one's like, look, we know what we signed up for. Hi, diddly D, you know, the actor's life for me. Don't complain about it. Just go out there and do it and do the best you can. And yeah, so what? You had a bad day. You failed. Big deal. Get up on the horse and do it again tomorrow. And that has been a huge blessing for us. So yeah, I mean, do you find that, Ray, that, you know,
yes, everything you said, to be honest with you, substitute, you know, acting for music, same thing. Yeah. You know, and then the things that you didn't even talk about, the politics of, you know, of things, you know, and how does one person get here and person get here. And, you know, the amount of time it takes to get to achieve any amount of success. I mean, she's been at my wife's been at for 12 years. And now has the agent, the publicist, and the publisher, and the song plugger, and some huge things are getting ready to pop behind the curtains. But then those are what ifs. So everything you said is like supporting each other, not just when, you know, the money and the gigs and those things are coming through, but it's when they're not, and when you don't understand. Yeah. So that's great. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And Matter of fact, probably something that's really important is, so where can anyone who's listening now and getting to hear the multi-talented Dan here, Slack off,
that's all right. They're all the same.
No, Dan Sackhoff. Where can people find out more about, actually, let's include your wife too, Dan Sackhoff and Jill Sackhoff. Where can people go to right now as they're listening and see everything you've done?
You know, anymore, the best way probably is, I have a website, but I have not upgraded it, which is on my to-do list for 2022. The best way is imdb.com. If you go to Dan Sackhoff on IMDb, that's got, you know, my credit list. It's got some videos and some of my reels and stuff that I've done. And then, you know, if you want to see some of the crazy ventriloquist content, you can go to at Ventriculist, VentriculoList on Instagram. Nice. And so, yeah, those are probably the best places. And Jill, IMDb, the same thing. So that's kind of the comprehensive list of things anymore. And anything new kind of gets put on there. So, you can do that. And then if anybody has kids out there and you're into kids content, you can listen for my voice. I'm a recurring character on an animated show called Santiago of the Seas on Nickelodeon, which is a blast. Cool. I play a character named El Guardian, who is a bird. He's a very little bird, but he has a very big personality. And I sing and do all this stuff. So that's really, those episodes will be dropping pretty soon on Nickelodeon.
Right. So well-rounded. Well, we're going to have to do part two. I hope, you know, we'll do part two down the road for sure. Give a little bit of time so you can have some other cool things to share with people. But so of all the things that you do, I want to end the show this way today. Okay? All the things you do, you've done directing as well, right?
I've done a little bit. Yeah.
You've done a little bit of directing. Okay.
Yeah.
But you've been an actor, you know, you want to do more directing. Cracky, let's say he's an aspiring actor. Okay. Uh-huh. So the way that I would end the show would be simple. I would say, thank you so much for listening to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio and recorded on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast collaboration form. Excellent. Now, Cracky has a hard time remembering things. So I want us to exit the show today. You are the director. He is the actor. All you're trying to get him to do is tell Houston's audience that he appreciates them listening and have a great night. You know, just something really simple, but he is so dense, he just can't get it. And you've been on set all day long. This is the last thing the last thing you got to do, and he's just not getting it.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. And quiet on set and action. Oh, wait a minute. Well, you can't have action. See, you know what? Forget it. You do it, because okay. If you say action, he's already talking. So exactly. I'll stay on it.
Yeah, you're acting as the AD right now, Ray. Okay, back off. Different union. All right, everybody, settle, please. All right, we're on a bell. Put us on a bell, please. Okay, Cracky, you ready?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound super super positive. Cracky, you ready?
Yes.
That was better. I like that tempo. Okay, ready. Everybody, we're on a bell. Quiet, please. Sound speeding. And action.
And we're here.
Cut. Okay, look. That was really. I like where you're going. I like where you're going with that. But up at the top, you sound like you swallowed a gerbil or something, because you bobbled that. And it's about intentionality, Cracky. Okay, what? Imagine, who are you talking to? I want you to talk to one person. Imagine one person in your head. You got them in your head?
I do.
Okay, that's the person you're talking to. I want you to just relax, swallow, take a breath, lick your lips. And I want you to just talk to that person, okay? All right, here we go. Everybody, we're on a bell. Quiet, please. Sound speeding. This is Cracky. The big goodbye. Scene 4, take 2, and action.
Hi, Shania Twain. Thank you. And it's been a good night.
Okay, and cut. Okay, look, I know I said I wanted you to talk to one specific person. Don't tell who you're talking to. That defeats the whole purpose, because then you're alienating everybody else, okay? You know what I mean? So you're talking to Shania, but just in your head. You don't have to say Shania's name.
Got it.
So I'm ready. What time is lunch? Okay, all right, here we go. All right, quiet. We're on a bell, please. Sound speeding. Cracky, the big goodbye. Take 3, and action.
And thank you for listening to Houston, Shania, and all her friends out there. It's been a great night. We'll see you next time on Houston, recorded on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast software stuff.
Cut, print it. That's the best we're going to get, people. Let that launch.
Well done. Well done. That was actually brilliant.
Good work, Cracky.
Yes, collaboration.
Exactly.
Well, Dan, there's actually so much more we want to talk to you about, but I'll tell you what, we want to have you back. We'll have you come back in a couple months and do this again.
I'd love it.
But in the meantime, no, seriously, thank you for all your time. Matter of fact, the next time we have you on, we'll the first 15 minutes, we'll just talk about Toto.
Oh, that would be fantastic. All okay. Right.
We will just talk about Toto. I've actually interviewed Steve Lukather a few times. So,
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous.
But we've had a great time today. And my friend, the last word is yours. Any advice you have for any aspiring actors or anyone that's in your field, we'll let you leave the show today.
The last word. Enjoy what you do. Pursue something that you love, and you will never work a day in your life. My dad used to tell me that. And if you want to do this, don't measure yourself by other people's accomplishments or what they do. Do what you love. Keep doing it. Show up, suit up every day. Do your best work. Do the best that you can. And try to be nice to everybody. And honestly, just enjoy everybody's company and realize everybody's made in the image of God, and whoever they are, you want to be kind to them and you want to enjoy the ride. Don't get caught up with where you think you should be. Just have fun and enjoy it.
Beautiful. Yay. You're here in Houston. Stick around. And any of those friends of Dan out there, we did let him out of the cage for this podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Houston on Seattle Wave Radio. Keep an eye out for our next mission, where we interview and unveil behind-the-scenes aspects of some of your favorite artists. Houston, Seattle Wave Radio base here. Our podcast has landed.
I got a belly full of wine. My Majesty's a pretty nice girl. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Oh yeah, someday I'm gonna make her mine.